Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Finching. My name is Natalie.
I'm Christy. Hello. I am conducting the Imperial March from Star Wars. I'm just having a big time in my head.
Okay.
We're at the end of Severance.
Well, at least this season, yeah.
Yeah, okay, whatever. It seems foreboding, and so foreboding music seemed appropriate to me. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers, like duh. We're at the end of season two, and that's all that's out of Severance. And also, we are having something to drink. This was actually a me choice. We are having some red wine. It's called Nero de Avila, which is, it's a very dark red. It is from Sicily, from Mount Etna. It's like hot, dark magma.
Magma.
Things are getting burned down in this episode in a way. And I think that that is appropriate in many ways for this episode.
Metaphorically, not
anything. I would love it if things were actually burned down. That would make me happy. But I guess with the brutalists, that concrete architecture, it is hard to do. Anyway, we have much to cover.
Yeah.
So let's get going.
All right. We're just going to do this in order because we can't really do it any other way.
No.
Mark's innie is confused. Rightfully should be, because he was, the last thing he knows, he was at work, got a nosebleed, and then hadn't woken up until this moment in a birthing cabin with his Audi's sister and Miss Cobell.
And he's like, ah, Cobell!
Ah. Mark tells Cobell he hasn't finished Cold Harbor, and that means Gemma's still alive and they can save her.
She actually says, your wife's still alive, and he's like, huh? Wife? Yeah, he's still a little vague about it, even though his innie would have known, right?
Well, he did know, and that's the whole point. Cobell tells him there's a hidden hallway. He figures out that it's from Herb's drawings, and he knows where it is because they found the directions. Helly, meanwhile, is confronted by Jane Egan.
Yes!
Still the dumbest name I have ever heard. I know if I say if you're called Jane, you have, like, there's no, it would be one thing if it was Jamie.
Yes.
But it's Jane.
Well, I mean, we have a lot of bad Jamies in, we have good Jamie in Outlander, but we have, like, bad Jamie in Yellowstone. There's another bad Jamie. What's the other one?
Well, Lannister?
Yes, Jamie Lannister kind of sucks. You know, like, he's not bad, but he goes back to Cersei, which sucks. Anyway, so, yeah, James sucks. He gives this unbelievably god-awful speech to the innie of his daughter that I just, you know, it's a little hard to imagine.
Well, he's essentially saying, you know, my whore of a daughter couldn't be Keir.
He doesn't say whore.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, I don't think he thinks she's a whore.
No, he just thinks she's unworthy.
Yes.
For reasons? Unclear why, because she seems to have the go-get-em attitude that he does. And I even have other children, which we figured out from the birthing cabin thing from last episode.
I had this daughter. I didn't see Keir in her. And I hate my daughter. He says that. He says, I hate my daughter. And I didn't see Keir in any of my bastards, but I see Keir in you. And it's almost a sexual thing. Like, when he's talking to her, is so unbelievably god awful creepy. It's kind of, I don't know. I've read a fair bit about some of these cults that best to be a Mormon, where there's incest and like child sexual stuff, and the justifications for it. And this feels like that. It's got that super creepy, oh my God, can I go have a shower? Because this is like making me dirty just watching it. It's so bad.
I also will say, and not just, this isn't like about anything sexual or anything, I just feel like the blocking of the scene is really bizarre, because the way, like, the distance between them makes sense. Then she chooses to close the distance by grabbing a pen and is like ready to stab him. It's like, yeah, that's really gonna do a lot, Helly. And they're like stuck in this like pose of like him just standing there and her like having the pen ready to stab him, and yeah, it's
just, I see Kira in you. Ugh.
And also, it's
that threatening thing he finds to be
yes
inspiring.
But I also think that they really did her this actress a disservice by like not letting her move or like do anything. And I don't know if it's the way she was directed or what, but when she was just like, "What do you want from me? What's going on?" It just felt weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was I don't know what it was. It just was bizarre to me.
It makes her.
I know she's a great actress, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and I think it almost feels like she's. We've seen her play dumb before. We have seen her be ignorant before. This is neither of those things, or it doesn't come off as either of those things. So you kind of feel like, is she dumb?
I feel like there should be more desperation there.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. There was just aggression. And
yeah,
I feel like there should have been more.
As she wants.
Yeah, this is your Audi's father who has control of the whole company. Like, yeah. You don't know what this is for.
Right, but you know that this man has power, and you should feel some menace from him, and she does not. But he's talking about, tomorrow is a special day, and, like, he leaves.
Mark is told once Cold Harbor is done, they'll do a test and then kill Gemma. The plan is...
And kill him. Kill his innie.
Yes. The plan is, he finishes Cold Harbor, goes to the testing floor, his Audi finds Gemma. Because his Audi will click in on that floor, like Gemma's Audi clicks in on that floor.
Mm-hmm.
His innie will guide Gemma once they get to the Severance floor, to the exit stairwell, and set her free, and he'll get out as well, and they'll all run to safety. That's the plan.
Right. She also explains that what has been happening with all these numbers, and I can't remember if she explains it in this part of the episode or later. Or whatever.
No, this is... That's
she
later. Mom, that's
explains...
Later. We need to have a discussion with Mark's Audi and his innie before we get to that.
Whatever, go on.
So if they succeed, he would essentially be giving up his life, and he recognizes that, but apparently no one else did at the time for reasons. And so Mark's Audi recorded a message for his innie to watch and record an answer to.
So he has this argument with himself that is by video. It's hilarious.
It's great. His Audi starts out by apologizing for neglecting him and neglecting the fact that he was going through hell down there. His innie's just like, well... You know, we make do. And also, I'm kind of scared of your request because it might end my existence and the existence of my friends. And the Audi's like, well, Lumen doesn't have to be your whole life. And we could finish my reintegration. And if they free Gemma, I will promise to finish the process. And the Innie's like, well, that doesn't really make any sense. Like, we would, like, split your body. Like, what does that mean? And he's just like, well, but you'll have more of a life. And he's just like, but not everyone's going to be able to reintegrate. I know Helly is not going to be able to reintegrate because her Audi would never do that.
Right. And I think, yeah, I'm sorry. Keep going. I have thoughts about it, but go ahead.
His Audi's like, well, I've been married to Gemma for 4 years, and I have way more of, like, attachment to my wife than you do of your, like, 6-month girlfriend who is Helena fucking Egan. Like, I'm sorry,
yeah.
But, like, that's just how it is. But and he also says, like, what's he call her? Helene?
Yeah,
instead
he keeps
of Helly.
Mispronouncing her name. It's bad.
Which was a trigger for his Audi with Gemma when Helena Egan came up to him. And it's also a trigger for his innie.
Right, and I would say this also, that another trigger for his innie is that, first of all, Cobell is present and part of this process, but second, in these conversations, Mark invokes the name of, well, Cobell says, and mm-hmm. that is going to make him mistrustful of the whole process. You said Cobell's involved is all bullshit.
And he says that he's in love with Hallie, okay, mm-hmm. and he'll lose her. Because her Audi wouldn't reintegrate, and he thinks the second that he gets Gemma back, then his Audi will abandon him. Which, honestly, valid. You know, I don't blame him for thinking that. And I would also be very distrustful of this process because if I were in his shoes. Because honestly, it's a shit situation either way. And he's not, he still thinks there's a way out. I think he needs to be told, and he is told later on, that it's just a shit deal. Like, hand he's being dealt. Like, I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
Well, but yeah, I think some of it too, like, they keep trying to treat this like it's a mathematical equation, right? Like, oh,
like a trolley problem.
Well, like, but I'm half of you and whatever. It's like, no, you aren't. No, you aren't. You were severed for a very specific reason. Mark Audi explains that. He's like, look, I got severed because I lost Gemma and I had become a drunk and I lost my job as a professor and, you know, all of these things. And I simply couldn't function anymore. And getting severed was the only way I might be able to, you know, move on with life. And that's why I did this, is because I love her so much. And the fact that she's alive and she's trapped, I've got to fix this. And Mark's any is kind of like, well, but, you know, we're 50-50. It's like, no, we're not. No, we're not. You know, like, everything that is the physical vessel that your consciousness is in, this is not the conversation they have, but I think it is part of what should have been had, is like, the vessel that you're in wouldn't exist without me.
Like, well, as soon as he says that, I'm sure he would have immediately just been like, nope, I'm not doing it, because he's trying to be as diplomatic as possible. However, it is still, I can see both sides to a certain degree. I'm more on Audi Mark's side because I know how much Gemma means to him. And I feel like it's a valid
thing. I'm more on Audi Mark's side.
Oh, yeah. And I also feel like it's
decades of life.
I also feel like it's a simple enough request for him to be like, hey, get my wife out of there, please. And you know what? It's saving a life regardless. Like, he knows that they're going to kill Gemma regardless. So are you just going to leave her hanging? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Any Mark's concern, obviously, is for, like, the complete eradication of him and all the other innies. But also, that would happen either even with Cold Harbor or without Cold Harbor finishing, because Gemma, if she were to be, like, gotten rescued, then she would make a huge, like, I'm sure she would go to, like, journalists and, like,
then make sure that everyone knows. The whole sever floor would be gone. So I think, you know, one of the things, too, that Cobell even said to Audi, to one of them, is that, you, if they finish Cold Harbor, Gemma dies, but you die too. Like, they're going to get rid of you because they don't need you anymore as a severed employee.
You serve one purpose, and it's to finish Cold Harbor.
And that's it.
Which is an interesting long game, you know?
Yes,
because he's been there for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, and he,
but
we'll talk about this in a second.
They don't think about Innies as human.
No, they don't. But also, it's interesting. He mentions he has finished now with Cold Harbor. He will have finished 25 files.
Right.
It's like, okay, why did it take that many files? So, but again, that's all about Cold Harbor. Which, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's
Cobell
talk about it. Yeah,
is the one who, like, when Audi Mark
with Severance. So here we go.
Audi Mark is like, okay, well, he's not listening to me. He's a petulant child who can't get, like, let go of the 6-month girlfriend who will betray him at the first sign of trouble. Like, what am I supposed to do with this guy?
Yeah.
Like, he is literally my only chance of finding Gemma.
Well, and he's like an infant. And that ends up being, well, he is now at the point where the Audis that created this, or the corporate universe that created this, that's how they've been treating the Innies all along.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, Cobell is the last line of defense and talks to Innie Mark, saying that the numbers that he has been refining are his wife, which is kind of what my theory was initially, which I don't know how much of that was my theory or I... Because I honestly, like, I had forgotten that this was the explanation, because I don't know, like, a lot of is thrown at you in this episode. So I don't think I had fully retained what happened. But I mentioned this in the Gemma episode about how the numbers are his wife's, like, the doorway to her mind.
Right. And that's what she says. But she also is descriptive about, like, something that I had talked about before, too.
But
Like,
now we have names.
Right. But it's kind of like the id portion of a person. The innies represent these things. And they call, and Cobell describes it as their humors. And so, of course, Cure has, like, a list of humors. And they are woe, frolic, malice, and dread. There are only four, really? And they're mostly negative. Hello. Somebody should
frolic,
be thinking
though.
About this.
I, frolic?
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to Frolish.
Oh, my God. But the others are all, like, terrible. So
they're the building blocks
you
of her mind.
But, I mean, when you think about it, like, you get sadness, joy, malice being
and
anger. And dread being fear, so we don't have disgust in there. It's kind of sad. You kind of need some disgust, don't you? But there are 25, so maybe there are more than we are thinking. But it's the only thing that she describes.
25 files, yes. But every file is a new consciousness for her, so it's a new severed personality, which is also something that we kind of figured out in that episode.
But Eniemark is like, fuck it. I'm fighting for my innie, and I better wake up on the fucking severed floor, you know, like the next time I wake up. Somewhere.
Yeah, he essentially threatens Gemma. Well, is threatens to not get Gemma out of there is what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he wakes up on the severed floor. So he
and there's
sees
this
the
picture.
Painting.
Oh my God. This painting. So, like, we know that O&D does these paintings of various things, but this painting basically makes it out that Mark is, like, here or the savior or something, and it's got Woe's Hollow, and it has the entire MDR, like, on the top thing, and it has even Miss Casey in there and just all this, and he's got this halo around him, and he's holding up all of Mark, the character Mark is, and it's kind of like, no pressure, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, it is bizarre and disturbing. And while he is standing there kind of staring at that, Hallie gets off the elevator.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, we gotta talk, some things happen. And she catches sight of the picture. She's like, okay. And so they walk into MDR. And it's like darkness, darkness, darkness. And then you know, some of the lights, again, most of the lights don't come on until later when Melchick comes by. But in MDR is like one of those audio animatronics that we had seen in the whatever it was section that they had visited in season one. And it is Keir. And he's sitting there as, you know, he's not active, but he has a card, letter, envelope, whatever in his hand addressed to Mark. And inside it is a pop-up card.
A waffle pop-up card.
What? I've forgotten what the pop-up was.
It was waffle.
Waffle. Yes, I'm sorry. You said
I thought you said
that. Awful for a second, but no, it's waffle. Like, you're going to get a waffle party. It's a waffle pop-up card about today's a special day kind of thing.
Today's a special day.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what this is. It's like so, so, so fucked up. And you know, it basically is kind of like, you get to do this special thing in complete Cold Harbor, and Hallie can watch over your shoulder, more or less, or watch from her desk, or something along those lines. They sit down, they whisper to each other. She says that, like, her daddy came and he's creepy and like there's something going on. He is kind of like, I gotta get Gemma out of here, but I want to be here with you and I love you. So he's kind of slow walking, finishing the file. And you get, like, again, there's a whole montage of the dentist watching and, you know, that kind of thing. Beard guy, you know, all of this stuff. Everybody's watching. Oh, the number's moving. Yay. We're going to finish Cold Harbor. But we also see Gemma on her floor, on her testing floor. And she opens up her closet. Because, again, we've seen that when she opens up the closet, it's a different outfit for every day. And the outfit that's in there is the outfit that they kidnapped her in.
Mm-hmm.
And they take her to the Cold Harbor room. And she's, you know, again, she's reluctant.
Well, they eventually take her to the Cold Harbor room. Mm-hmm. It is a very long montage of her walking down a hallway to buy time. So she
very slow montages in this. You just
she very slowly makes her way there while Milchick is heading this marching band.
Oh my god, I haven't talked about any of that. Oh my god, this is one of those music dance experiences.
Sorry, no, it's choreography and merriment.
I thought that wasn't until after he finished the file. It was
you haven't finished
no,
the file?
Finished the file. What were you doing? Were you paying attention at all?
As much as you do. Anyway,
no.
So he finishes the file. Gemma is taken to the Cold Harbor room while Milchick does this weird scripted thing with a wax figure of
it's a floor show.
Here.
So they are doing like what I guess is supposed to be what passes for stand-up comedy on the Severn floor, which is Milchick talking to a Cure audio animatronic, and they're both like super mean to each other. There's some good lines in there that I probably wrote down, and if I think of them, I'll get back to it. But they go back and forth like a semi-comedy routine, but it's really just more vicious. And then we have a music dance experience. Do you want to describe the music dance experience or whatever in merriment?
Choreography and merriment.
There we go.
He has a marching band comes in. He acts
yeah,
as a
baby.
Conductor. And he...
They're playing glorious Cure songs.
Yeah, and so they do that while Mark and Hallie are like, what the fuck are we supposed to do?
Oh, and they yell Mark, like, period.
Mark.
So, la, 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 Mark!
I would have given anything if they all had the fucking Cobell accent and went, Mark!
As opposed to Mark, because of finding it.
Oh, so funny. Anyway, so they have this choreography of merriment, which if that were an option of a fucking
I'd totally be part of.
I'd totally be a part of choreography of merriment.
Yeah, for sure.
Helly is like, go, Mark. I've got you. You're going to. Did you cover any of what Helly and Mark said to each other?
I mean, basically, they're like, hey, you're going to have to make a break for it, Kathy. And so her
not just that, but also like, oh, I've been thinking of all the places that we could have
possibly
gone.
I forgot about the geography part.
Yeah, okay. She's like, we could have gone to the equator. And then she's just like,
I think that's a big building somewhere.
She's so funny. She also says something like, I've been trying to think of places other than fucking Delaware. And you know what? Good for you, girls. Thanks, hi.
Equator is one of them. And there are a couple of them, like Luxembourg, you know, whatever.
Something.
Like just random words that she has retained from somewhere in her lizard brain. They're like,
and so when she says goodbye to him, she's like, see you at the equator.
And he's like, yeah.
And he runs off. And she essentially is like, well, that's the last time I'm ever going
to
see
him. But what she does to be a distraction is she grabs Milchick's radio. So he can't radio to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs into the bathroom and throws it in the toilet. Milchick follows her. And then she like locks him in the bathroom, which is
and
great.
Holds the door.
And better than that, Dylan, who is still trying to quit.
Oh, no. At this point, he has gotten a note back from his Audi.
There's
something
fucking
way
there.
Better than that. It says, first of all, fuck you, but I'm also very envious of you. And I wish
you're a
I
badass.
Had,
yeah,
I wish I had any of your chutzpah. And I wish I was half the man that my wife thinks you are, and stuff like that. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but and he's just like, I know this is your resignation notice, but I would love, I also like knowing that you're there. So if he gives him a choice, essentially, he's like, you can resign, or I would actually really prefer if you stay, but the choice is yours. And I do like that he gives him a choice.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Mark.
Yeah.
Mark.
But anyway, no, Milchick's in the bathroom. And while I'm just going to finish this up
yeah,
a little bit, is while he is in the bathroom and Helly's like trying to beg for the marching band to help her keep him in there.
No, they just keep going. So
yeah, they're still playing because that's what they do. She's trying to hold the door. And Dylan like slams the vending machine in front of the door so that Milchick can't
Talk
get out.
Talk about flashbacks to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, seriously.
Hold the door.
Hold your door.
Hold the door.
And he does, and he's holding the
Hold
vending machine for a while,
the
but you gotta admit, Milchick's pretty tough. I'm impressed. And
He's a grown man.
yeah, but she, Miami is like kind
He's
of
also
like built like
buff.
football player, yeah, football player a little bit.
Yeah, I can see
But
it. Well, he strikes me more of a soccer player.
no, I disagree. But
Okay.
anyways,
Have you seen
the
that
I'm no.
man run? Yes, you have in this show.
It's not the same.
You literally see. What's also funny,
Why are we having this discussion?
I would also like to mention a funny part where when he drops off Dylan's resignation notice that his Audi filled out, he is like, "I have other places to be," and then runs out of the out the door and
Yeah,
is
he's
like
stripping
undoing his
off
tie
like to be
and
Superman kind of thing. It's
yeah, to
very
do
funny.
his choreography in marriage.
But the point being that during that whole process with the marching band, at some point Milchick is able to get, like a space open, like a transom almost, and Hallie and there is shoving like musical
Trombones.
instruments and into it, and she tries to recruit choreography and merriment. She's like, look, they're all gonna kill us eventually, and we need to fight for our lives as enemies. And they're all kind of like, hey. And
Really?
that's more or less that.
No, that's all we really see of that. Other than Milchick does eventually get out after an alarm starts blaring. Spoiler.
But that's later.
I know it's
So
later, but we need to cover it now. He knocks down the vending machine, and when he sees what he sees is Dylan and choreography and merriment being like, "What's up, Mr. Milchick?" and like about to
yeah,
essentially beat
ma'am,
him up.
fuck you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to Mock. Mock.
Mock.
Well, actually, before Mock, we have Gwendolyn Christie. So
She
Gwendolyn Christie is
has a goat
transporting a
in a
goat.
basically a shopping cart.
Yes, she's transporting a goat to this weird secret room
That
that
the
Beard
beard guy
guys
is
in.
in.
We'll
Like,
call him
so
Beard.
yeah, beard has
Not Coach
come.
Beard, but Beard.
Beard has come up the creepy elevator. And has come to a specific room on the regular severed floor where the goat room is and where MDR is. And Gwendolyn Christie brings the goat in there, and he has this whole, again, it's this creepy cure shit, like, oh, we need to kill the goat because the goat's gonna be buried with this very special woman and needs to be
Weird thing is,
transported.
Gemma.
And she needs to be able to escort the woman to the afterlife with Kier kind of thing.
Fucking
It seems
weird.
like sarcophagi and like other fucking weird
I
shit.
also just, I recently watched The Mummy for the first time, and so
Yeah,
it's
it's like
like
that.
those fucking beetles, but a
Scarabs.
lamb. Oh, sorry, a goat.
But a goat. And so there's he gives Gwendolyn Christie a gun and says to shoot her, shoot the goat. Because he also wants to know if the goat has verve. Whatever the fuck it to me.
I
And
don't
she's like, oh,
remember.
she has much verb. Like, what are we talking about? This is
It's
like
so
music
weird.
shit.
It's so
Oh, it
weird.
is so bizarre. But at the same time,
Mock.
well, she's like, how many times should I shoot the goat or whatever? And he's and or and he's like, well, how many what? And he's like, how many do we have to kill? And he's like, as many as the creator requires or
Because
whatever.
she clearly hates that she has to do this for a living.
Right. I mean, she actually, like, d I think she talked about mammalian that are nurturable. I think that's her department, mammals that are nurturable.
Mammalian something.
Yeah,
It
it's
doesn't
weird.
really matter.
But again, all this symbolic, weird, corporate, fucked up language
The
is
fact
weirdly comical to
we
me.
all figured that it was probably a sacrifice of some kind with the goats. But what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
And
like, it's got.
I
And they
know I
have like a
talked to big
coffin for the goat.
I know I
Like,
talked to Big Game about how they'll just never explain the goat. And you might think that this is an explanation. I disagree. I think that it is stupid that they have a full-on fucking severed department for goats on a
sacrifice.
severed
Goat
floor
sacrifice.
on it like underground with like fake AstroTurf or whatever the fuck. It looked fucking real. I don't know how it's growing, but it's
Paralyzed.
But also, like, what does it smell like down there? But all
Oi.
that to say, it's ridiculous. And anyway, so that's
I
happening.
will tell you this cure, this stuff is
pretty ridiculous. All of it's ridiculous. And so that's happening right across the floor hall from the hallway to the hallway. So Mock makes his way to the towards the hallway. It's locked. His key card's not working for it, obviously. Like, why would it? But
Beard Guy and Gwen and Christy hear him. And
he's literally like halfway up the wall trying to get
into it. Beard Guy's like, what you doing there? And they get into this big wrestling type fight.
It's the funniest shit.
Because honestly, love
Adam Scott.
But
it's not even close. It's the funniest, because the best like part of it, huge. The best part of it is when Beard, like, he's like, I think Adam Scott's on the, Mock is on the ground. And then Beard Guy grabs his leg and just throws it into the wall.
And his head hits. Like,
it's so funny. Then Gwendolyn Christie has the gun for the goat, and she puts it up to the guy's temple and is like, get the fuck off of him, no more killing. And then he starts fighting her. Like, it's pretty brutal. Like,
it's very brutal.
He's throwing a lot of punches, a lot of bleeding.
He had been, before Gwendolyn Christie gets involved, full on strangling Mark. Like, he's like not able to breathe.
He turns purple.
He does.
And so he lets Mark go after, like, there being a gun to his head. But then he starts fighting Gwendolyn Christie. And then when Gwendolyn Christie pins him to the ground and is about to kill him, Mark's like, no, wait, stop. And he has the forethought to take him with him to the testing floor so that, hey, maybe he knows where Gemma is. We can threaten him with a gun. That will work. Okay, yeah. Let's try that. Yeah. I don't know why he thinks that the guy won't fight back, even though he already had a gun to his head and then fought a full-on fucking woman. But, you know.
Yeah, no.
He can just kick your ass again, Mark, but okay, that's fine. Even though, considering
this is actually fucking great, though.
No, it's great. I love it so much. I love, from here on, like, from here to, like, right before the end is, like, some of my favorite parts of this season.
There is some hilarious shit in here. So, some just not right shit in here, but sorry.
So, Mock gets into the elevator with Beard Guy. He has the gun to his face, and he's talking a big game about, okay, you're going to take my Audi to my wife, and you are going to set her free, and you're going to get us out of here. That's the plan. Mid-sentence, he blinks into his Audi, who wasn't prepared to be, like, anywhere, but also let alone holding a gun.
And he pulls the trigger. It's hilarious. Oh, my God.
Blood goes spraying all over Mark.
Literally.
Mark is literally dripping with blood. It's the funniest thing in the world.
Yes.
And Beard Gun just falls to the ground, and it's the elevator awesome doors shit. Keep trying to shut. It's so funny. He like slowly, but like kind of testing the water, seeing if there's anyone on the floor, like trying to figure things out. He makes his way to the Cold Harbor room. We should mention at this point, Gemma, she has gotten into the Cold Harbor room. She
was taken there by the baby crib,
and she does not remember who she is. This is the severed version.
Apparently, the whole purpose of the Cold Harbor room is to test to see if she has any lingering emotion with respect to something like a baby crib. Because
a baby crib with the song that's playing, which was the song I believe that was playing in the montage.
I don't remember
of Mark taking apart the crib.
But in any case, she is told to take the crib apart with a single screwdriver, which you gotta be fucking kidding me. But yeah.
What else would she be using?
I don't know. Some other parts, but other tools. Proceed now.
Okay. So she's doing that. She does not remember who she is. She's having, like, no emotional response to this. And that's clearly what they want. They want her to be as, like, segregated from her emotions as possible. And so she's doing that. Mark makes his way to the Cold Harbor room. And this is the part that this is one of the only parts of this section that I really don't vibe with, is the nurse, the really, like, tough nurse.
Yeah.
He comes up, and then Mark, like, who doesn't have another bullet, is, like, threatening her with the gun and being like, you need to, like, let me in here or whatever, and she just runs away and doesn't alert anybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just weird.
And I'm like, girl, you didn't even put up a fight. Like, he could have at least knocked her out. Like, I don't understand why that happened.
Yeah,
but there is a pinprick, a blood draw that is needed to let someone into the door.
Right. And so Mark tries in the normal way. He realizes there's a pinprick, and then he realizes, I got somebody else's blood all over me. I would bet that
he uses his tie and yeah. he makes it into the room. I will also mention that the people watching this live are the creepy doctor
dentist dude
who is telling Gemma what to do from control room. And also James Egan is watching from this weird random room.
A very special room. It was just for like the completion of Cold Harbor and what they considered the test of that, which is to see if Gemma's going to respond to what happened to taking the crib apart.
So Mark slowly makes his way into the room, seeing his wife for the first time, and he says 2 years. So now we know 2 years have fully passed at this point.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
That's crazy. Because we kept saying 1 year because the 5 extra month difference that Milchick claimed didn't seem to be true, but if Mark says it's been 2 years, I believe that. Yeah. And so he has to explain to a frightened Gemma, hey, no, I'm your husband. I want to get you out of here. You are okay. And I'm not going
to
hurt you.
The dentist over the intercom is like, don't listen to that.
This is not part of the test,
not
Gemma.
Part of the test. You got to stay. And it's very clear, like, on some, again, lizard brain level, she is responding to the presence of someone who is not a lumen person.
Mm-hmm.
And so
her emotions are coming back.
Yeah, he is able to coax her out the door. It takes a long time. Mm-hmm. And when they reunite, is this the greatest thing?
He's like, you can come out now. And she comes out and she blinks into her Audi. And then she realizes like, Mark's there. But also, imagine that being like the first time you see your husband in 2 years, and he's just covered in blood.
You know, like, this man fought for me.
But I also love that she like doesn't blink an eye at that, and is just immediately like, "Come here, hug me. You're covered in blood."
Oh my God.
And they hug, they kiss. It's very sweet. And then alarms start going off because the nurse has now made it to the doctor.
The
and
dentist.
Now everyone's aware that something's going wrong.
Right.
And Gemma takes charge and like grabs Mark and is running to the elevator because she knows where to go.
Right. And so they're running together. There are the red lights flashing all over the place, which, you know.
Atmospheric.
Yeah.
They get to the elevator. The elevator closes. They get the dead body out of there. The elevator closes. They're hugging. They're kissing. And then they blink
into the severed floor.
So it's Miss Casey and Mark Sinney.
And they're both like, oh. Hi.
Okay. And she's like,
what's
Mark,
going on?
What's taking place? And Mark's like, we're gonna, she's like, and then he
knows
he's
to the stairwell. Yeah.
And so he runs her over to the stairwell.
Right.
He gets Gemma out of the stairwell, which is kind of bizarre that he's able to even get her out, considering a lockdown would cause locks. But I'm not going to question it because Gemma's out. Great.
Yeah, exactly.
Gemma's
there
out.
Are inconsistencies in the show. We're ignoring them.
Before Mark gets out and blinks into his Audi, he hesitates. And Gemma's like, Mark, no, come on. Let's get out of here.
Because she's like, let's go, let's go, let's go.
I don't blame her. And Mark hesitates, and then Helly comes out.
Well, he also shuts the door.
He lets the door shut, yeah.
He lets the door shut, and of course, we've got Gemma on the outside, who is her outie, and is like, this is my husband. I love you. You've got to come with me.
I also think at this point, now it's locked or something. I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, she can't open the door. She keeps trying. She's like, come on, Mark, come out, come with me. You've got to go, we've got to go, we've got to go. And we see Helly appear behind Mark. And Gemma realizes, because he glances back at Helly, Gemma realizes, oh, something's going on there. But she still is just adamant, he's got to leave, he's got to leave, he's got to leave.
But I also think that it's interesting because Gemma, I don't think, knows that Mark's severed at all. And so what she's seeing is her husband, and what she has heard at this point but from the doctor is that he's moved on. He has a kid, he has a wife or whatever.
He doesn't care about
He
you.
doesn't care about you. So even though he got her out, she doesn't understand what this means because she didn't, I don't think she knew that he was severed.
The last experience she had with him was in the elevator. They were kissing,
Yeah.
right?
And
And
now
then
he's like off with another woman. It's very confusing for her and scary, and she wants her husband to get come with her right now.
yeah, like, and so she's banging him.
And oh, poor thing. Oh, this
Wow, can you
performance is just
imagine? Like, oh,
heartbreaking.
it's awful.
And then Mark, also a great performance from Mark and Helly of like, maybe we can make it out. Maybe we can get out of here.
Well, but they're not even trying to get out. What they're trying to do is
Stay on the floor so
stay on
that
the
they can
floor and be
be.
innies forever.
Yeah.
Which,
I
because
don't know how that's gonna
he,
work,
right?
but
Because, like I said, they had a conversation in MDR when he was like doing the stuff about like, oh, I love you, I want to be with you, and she's like, yeah, but I'm never going to be yours because my outer
I am
is,
her.
I am her, I'm Helena. I'm an Egan. I
Yeah.
can't, like, and he's like, I don't care, we'll just stay here forever kind of thing. I mean, it is childish, hopeless stuff.
Yeah.
It's very kind of Romeo and Juliet weirdness, but in this dystopian, fucked up world.
I had a lot of emotions when I watched this for the first time, and obviously, you know how invested I am in Gemma and Mark. I was devastated that him and Hallie were running off into the red lights
I'm
together.
still furious about it. I
I'm
was
upset, but
angry.
I
Yeah.
liked it better this time. Not, I don't like that any Mark is fucking over his outie, but I see it, but I also like the fact that this ending is kind of like the ending of The Graduate, where they are running off together, they're gonna be together, and then you see their face change a little bit, where they're like
What the
realizing the
fuck does this
hopelessness of their
mean? Yeah.
situation. And so I like that aspect of it. I like that it's not just, oh, and they're gonna run off into the red lights together and they're going to find a way to be together forever. It's like, no, this isn't gonna fucking work. And I think they know that.
You are in a maze created for rats. That is what the severance floor is. And
And
so,
people
and
know the
they,
floor more than you.
right, and you know that you don't have like Luxembourg. You don't have
The
an
equator.
outside world. You don't have a sky. You don't have anything. And that was part of what Mark's outie was trying to get across to us, isn't he? Like, there's a great big world out there. We can explore it together, like as a
Reintegrated
reintegrated
team.
human. And I can't, but he can't have this conversation. And I think that you are having a conversation with someone who appears to be an adult
That
and
isn't.
then has agency and all of those things, but has the experience of an infant.
It's true.
And
But he
it,
can't help that either. And he
no.
also, if it weren't for
No.
Helly, I think he'd be way more appeal. It would appeal to him way more.
Sure, of course. But he has no experience other than these three other individuals. That's all. I want my three people. He
So
also
he's
can
had the
push
most
myself.
life-changing experience of his life when having sex with Helly. That was like the
Yeah.
most new experience he's ever had.
Yeah.
And it was something he wants to do again and again, but he also doesn't know what it means for him if he were to reintegrate, like, and be with his with Gemma and Miss Casey. Like, he doesn't find Miss Casey attractive, or like he'd find
Not
her
in that way.
attractive,
Not
I'm
in
sure,
that way.
but isn't in love with her.
Right.
And so he thinks that he's in love with Hallie, and not to say that he isn't, but it's like it just he knows it's doomed.
Right.
But he wants to try this last ditch effort to try again, and it could get him killed. Like, he literally has
He
put
knows
his life on the
that.
line
His
this entire
whole
time.
physical being is in
He was
peril.
nearly choked to death, and he still, like,
By staying, yeah.
maybe that's what reinvigorated him to want to be with Helly, is like all his near-death experiences. It's like, well, we got her out, so
We gotta do something.
I'm gonna live my life.
Whatever that is. All right, so what are your best parts?
I have quite a few, actually. Mark and Gemma reuniting, I love. The fight is so funny. The talk between Innie and Outie Mark, I like that it's a complex problem. And I like that you can take a side, but at the same time you can still see the other side's point of view. The marching band and choreography and merriment, hilarious. The fact that there's a whole department called choreography and merriment is amazing to me. Some explanation of the numbers. I like that they finally explained some of that. It doesn't explain exactly what the end goal of Cold Harbor is, even though we kind of figure that it's to turn off emotions to a certain degree.
Well, right. It is to isolate your humans, but
And to have control over them, I guess.
maybe,
I don't know.
maybe.
And Dylan's response to the resignation. I think that's it. It's very Dylan, but it's also mature of like, hey,
I don't think I wrote that down, but yeah.
it's still your choice, but this is where I'm at of like, fuck you, I'm annoyed that you kissed my wife. However, we have the same taste in women, so fair enough. And also, I mean, I just wish that I ha was more sure of myself like you are, and that he's able to admit that he is jealous. I like that he's being more mature about that, and so that's a major improvement. That's what I wrote down.
So what I wrote down, I do find this idea, and we've already talked about it some, is that the innings are this are so childlike, and this idea of isolating humors, whatever. I find it interesting because, again, I think that on so many levels we are trying to not be integrated as humans too. Like, we are letting AI and whatever the fuck, like, oh, we're having a mental health crisis if we actually feel an emotion. It's like, yeah, come on. Like, that's part of the whole process of being human, and eliminating that or isolating that or getting rid of that is not really the goal. And so I do find that discussion as a philosophical exercise really interesting. The Milchick floor show, I just, there's so much about this that I find hilarious on so many ways. Like the music dance experience, like, I don't think I wrote down any of the quote unquote jokes between the two of them.
I know that it
It
ends with Milchick being like, and this statue is 5 inches taller than you
yeah,
actually were.
sure. Yeah. And the statue's kind of like, hey. It's just, it's very, it is funny, but is in a very vindictive kind of way. I find that great. I like that beer guy gets killed, that like the
That's so
fruit of the
funny.
vine,
I forgot to
I
mention that.
find
I include that in the
hilarious.
fight. That's funny.
Getting Gemma out, of course, is like huge, huge, huge. And I think, can't read my writing. There's something about Helly, and I'm not sure exactly what it
Helly's
is.
like rousing speech.
Maybe, yeah,
I
that might
liked
be
that
it.
too.
I really liked that. So yeah, what were your worst parts?
Leaving Gemma hanging. I hate that. I hate that you're leaving Gemma hanging. This poor woman just got out of hell, and now you're just going to let her deal with it without her husband, who really wants to help her.
Yeah,
Okay,
it's
that's a
so bad.
fucked. That's fucked.
It's so bad.
Jame Egan, fuck you. You're weird. Milchick. What the fuck, man? And the beard guy goat sacrifice is very
Yikes.
bizarre, dumb, and I still believe it doesn't really explain why there's a whole fucking goat department in the severed floor. Why is it on the severed floor? You could just have a fucking farm and transport.
Yeah, it could be, like, you take goats to provide whatever the fuck. Like, oh,
It's
we're gonna be
so
providing meat or
dumb.
milk or cheese or fill in the blank. I mean, it is crazy that it is on the severed floor, and I agree with you. I don't think that there's any purpose to any of that. Although we all love Gwendolyn Christie, so whatever. But I just feel like she is completely wasted in this role. Yeah, my worst parts.
Wait, I
Oh,
will say
sorry.
it was really funny when she was in the fight. I could hear the
Oh,
tart
yeah,
noises she
Brienne,
was
full
making.
on. Yes. There is
And
a.
all due respect, like I would probably sound stupid to.
So, in obviously in Star Wars, and we didn't mention, I don't think, too much in there, but she has a big fight, and you can hear Brienne of Tarth in that. But she also in The Sandman, it has a character that gets in fights and stuff, and it's like you can hear Brienne, and Brienne is going to be the iconic character for her probably forever.
I think she's accepted that.
And I hope so because it's fucking awesome. Good for her. My worst parts, the idea that reintegration is bad, that, to the extent that that may or may not be the message, or that may or may not be what Mark Zinni takes away from it, or whatever, is so pathetic and awful to me. And I certainly hope our society isn't going there.
I will say I could understand why Mark Zinni was concerned, considering if they have just one body and one mind, who are they going to be in love with? Are we going
And
to
you know
stick with
what?
Gemma? Are we going to be with Helly? Or are we going to.
People who cheat on their spouse have to deal with this problem all the time.
I
You're like,
don't. I don't. I don't know what.
but I mean, what I mean is that, or when you're dating, and sometimes, like dating people overlaps or whatever, and you have to make the call, and you do. And oh, this person.
Oh, Gemma would win, but I'm
Right,
saying.
but this person is attractive to this part of me. That's great. You're not killing yourself by not fulfilling whatever part of you that
I'm
is.
just talking about any Mark's general idea of like, well, but I want to be with Helly and you want to be with Gemma. Like, what are we gonna do about that? How are we gonna reconcile that?
Don't know. We'll figure it out. Let's move on.
But they couldn't figure that out, and
I
it's not,
know,
it
but.
wouldn't end the way any Mark wanted to, and that's why he was
Yeah, but
objecting
he
to it.
doesn't know. I mean,
I think he does.
whatever. I mean,
I think we all
if he
know.
were reintegrated, he might love Gemma too. We don't know
I
that.
think that would probably end up happening, but.
Right. Anyway, so the Mark and Helly thing, I just fucking hate them running off together at the end because I think it is so short. So it kind of like defeats a lot of the purpose of this show to me.
Does
Like
it?
this idea that we have been watching for 2 seasons to see Mark and Gemma get back together, and the idea that they're separating them again on for zero reason. I mean, even Helly's kind of like, I'm never going to be with you. Like I am Helena Egan. We're never going to be together. You know that. Even like she understands it better than Mark Zinni understands it. And I think that is very telling to me about where the show is going. It's disappointing.
I also think it's funny that Helly, as herself, and Mark spent maybe a single episode or maybe two episodes together, max, in this 10-episode season.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be not okay, well,
Oh,
not okay with the fact that they run away together at the end, but also like understanding why. And
I'm in love
it's
with them.
like, not really.
Yeah, no. Nope.
Not really. They had sex. That's fine. But like, really?
Yeah, no, that's not a thing. But anyway, those are the only two things I wrote down. What grade did you give this episode?
I don't think we're going to agree on this.
Okay.
I think it's hard. I think it might be an A minus.
I gave it a B minus.
Okay. Why?
Why? Because I don't. I think we wasted a lot of time on this video internal fight. I think that there was a lot of that that could have been edited out. I don't think that, like you could do part of that, but not all of that. It just was completely un. Not completely, but it was mostly unnecessary.
I think that putting that in the last episode probably would have been
Yes,
better.
it would have made more sense. But again, it's kind of like a lot of the stuff with Cobell. I think she didn't need to be part of this episode at all.
I think that maybe that's why they kept it in so that Cobell could be a part of the final episode.
It's just crazy. But that whole thing, I think, ate up a lot of time and not in a particularly progressive way. A lot of the Dylan stuff that was in this episode, and there's not a lot, but what there is like, did we need any of that? I don't know.
I don't think the Dylan part ate up barely any of this episode.
It just, why is it even here? Like,
Last
I don't
episode,
know.
I would agree with you that it didn't need to be there at all,
I
but
wanted the dentist dead. He's not dead.
I
Bearded
would love
guy
to
being
kill him.
dead, obviously excellent. But nurse being dead would have been great too. But I feel like I'm sure they're setting this up for future seasons, but we have a lot of not just unresolved, but things that have been resolved in ways that I really actively don't like the Marks and Helly running off together. I feel like is contrary to what Marks and he had been, and we don't have a good reason why he has become what he is. It's kind of like you said, we haven't had a whole lot of Marks, Innie, and Helly act as actual their entities interacting in this season. And so it's hard for me to root for them. And I don't feel like there was adequate setup for that. So I'm really kind of like, I'm not like full on, I don't want to watch the next episode, not next season, but I'm kind of like, they're going to have to do a lot to get me back on board.
They're not gonna have to do too much for me because I want to find out what happens with Gemma.
I do care about Gemma.
I care about Gemma, and I want Mark and Gemma to have a
I want,
proper
yeah,
reunion,
I want
but
Mark's sister to get her shit together.
I don't care about Devin anymore. I as long as Devin
She's
is there with the
abdicated.
I as long as Devin is there with the van to pick up Gemma outside of fucking Lumen so that she doesn't get caught again, that's fine.
Well,
But
that's what my worry is. She's sitting there banging on the door like they haven't shut everything down. They're gonna get her back. Because one other thing the dentist yells, one thing he yells is like, "You're going to kill them all, like all 25 of the innies that they have created through this Cold Harbor process will die if Gemma leaves the building, basically." And true, and I'm fine with it, but the innies are for the innies at this point. Like it just, it's got this weird Dr. Seuss feel to it, like I just
What Dr.
like, have they
Seuss?
got stars on theirs, the kind of thing. It's just kind
No.
of like, it's,
I think there's just going to have to be a very clear vision of season three and way better pacing.
yes,
Because I also think
and I
that
don't see that happening.
I feel like I've heard about the production of this season that there were a lot of weird writing things of like, I think the writer's strike happened during this, maybe. And they also like had to redo a lot of it. I don't know. But it certainly reads that way. And so I think there was a clear vision. At like in some of these episodes, there was a clear vision of a through line, like the whole Bert and Irv thing. There was a through line there that they could have built upon, but they didn't. But there was a through line. Then you've got the Helly being Helena, and that was a whole thing, and that had a full resolution, all of that. But then there was this weird tacked on thing at the end with her dad, and then there was the Mark and Gemma thing, which is a pretty easy through line, but the reintegration thing was stopped head first, and then was just like, okay, well, oh well. I feel like this season, let's talk about comparing the seasons. I do think season one's better
Oh,
paced, and
significantly.
I do think that the highs of season one are higher. I especially that final episode.
The final episode of season one's great.
Yeah, season two I think had a lot going for it. It had a lot of it had things that I liked, which I have talked about. I did like this episode, but I think there were tons of episodes that could have been combined into one or just completely like snipped to for like carved out for the important shit. Like the Cobell episode could have just you could have just fed us that information in a different way and built on other storylines that didn't get enough time this season, like the Bert Nerf stuff. or the heli stuff or whatever you wanted to do. But I don't know. There were certain decisions that felt weird. Like, let's go make Cobell help us. That's stupid. I don't know.
There's a lot of illogical shit and inconsistent shit in this season, and the pacing's off. So to me, season one's a clear winner
Yeah, so
between the
season
two.
one and then season two. And it's not as close as I thought it was going to be initially.
No.
Because I remembered season two for the highs of like Gemma and Mark reuniting and Gemma's episode and stuff like that. And while I did like those parts of those, neither of them broke the A barrier other than
No.
an A minus. And it's because the weird pacing made the other stuff suffer.
Yeah, I
And
agree.
I think that's disappointing. I think if they could have streamlined it and like snipped a lot of the weird extra shit out, it would have been better.
Yeah, I agree. So we have new things that we're going to be
Do you
doing.
want to announce it?
Sure.
Okay.
Our
Oh,
plan.
I need to rush now. Oh shit.
Oh
Okay.
yeah. No, well, not Rorschach, but
Well,
so
I'm like
our
76%.
so we are on a dystopian theme, so we figured we would do something else that's dystopian and also YA. Yay.
Yay.
We're gonna do
Yay.
yes. We're gonna do the Hunger Games series next.
We're doing the movies. I've
Yeah.
now read the original trilogy and I'm 76% of the way done with Ballad of Songbirds and
I have
Snakes.
not read Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I've watched the movie. I've not read the book. And of course, there is a movie beyond that, in a prequel series that is about Haymitch that is
It's
supposed
coming
to be coming
out.
out soon.
It's coming out in November, I think.
And you know, obviously we're vaguely curious. I was not as curious about the prequels as obviously Natalie has been. So we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna do the movies. We're gonna talk about it. She's probably gonna be able to do more of a comparison with the books because it's been a while since I've read the Hunger Games book.
If I'm being honest, the books, at least the trilogy, are very similar.
Yeah, they are.
So there's not really much of a comparison that needs to be had. It's not like Harry Potter where they had to cut some stuff for time.
Yeah, and maybe at some point we'll do the Harry Potter TV series whenever they do that. But
Maybe we'll watch it first and
yeah,
get an
we're
idea.
not making decisions about that, but we do have ideas about where to go after Hunger Games, and we'd love to
Do
have your
we? Do
feedback.
we?
I mean, we've talked about a number of things.
What are your like top three that were, because I have one in my mind
You
that I
have
don't,
Barbie
no, it's
movies.
not even
What
Barbie.
is Barbie? What is not Barbie? That
What are you
I don't know, tell me.
I on top of my mind at all times for some reason, whenever we talk about stuff we'll cover eventually is Once Upon a Time.
Oh my God, Natalie.
I think it would
Holy
be crazy. I
Jesus.
know we had to find
Yes.
a more
No,
productive way
that
of
might be a
watching it.
2027 thing. Because I
Oh, is
can
that a promise?
no, but I'm thinking that we need like a huge block of time to devote to it.
That's
And
certainly
so
true.
in my mind, like we always try to do something that's a little bit holiday in December and you
But
know,
we're
a
not
little bit
there
further.
yet. Like,
No, we're not.
I don't think the Hunger Games are going to get us to like
No.
October, let alone December.
No, but I no. But I think you know, doing a couple of short things and then maybe look, because Once Upon a Time to me is not a Christmas
Oh,
kind of
hell no,
thing.
it's not.
So to
That's
me
a
it's
new
like
year.
that yeah, that's
So
like
what
not.
did you have in mind as like options?
So obviously Barbie movies would be.
Oh, are we serious about that? I'm so
I
excited.
thought you
Really?
were. I
I
mean,
mean,
I thought
no,
this would
I'll
be
do
good
it.
idea.
I'll do it. You know what I will.
What else
You
have we
know I
talked
will.
about? Holy shit.
I
We've
already
talked
have
about
some
a
notes
number of
prepared.
things. We've talked about a number of things. I'm having a blank.
Well, we also
Shit.
have the new season of Ted Lasso that's
Oh,
coming out
right. Yeah.
incrementally, so we'll have to do
Yeah.
something. I don't think
We
The Hunger
could do
Games is
like a
gonna.
whole comprehensive, like Ted Lasso season 4 review,
Oh,
maybe.
sure.
We
Instead of
could do
like
that.
all
We've
the
talked
episodes.
about doing like a major Bridgerton books thing.
That would take a lot of time.
That, yeah, I mean, but we might just you know be able to do it by reviewing our
That maybe I
narratives
could
more.
be able. I have gone back in my free time and bookmarked important parts of those books. And so if I just read those chapters, I think I could streamline it maybe.
Yeah, I there are
But then again, I will get rid of all the bad stuff I don't like through by doing
we
this.
also have like follow-up things on things we've already done, like Downton Abbey movies, or
Oh
we
yeah.
have Fantastic Beasts, which we've not done. We've got a number of things that we could follow up on
Yeah.
that we haven't. So I
So we
think
do
that
movies for a little while and then we do once upon a time, maybe. Maybe.
maybe we'll see.
I don't know why I keep going back to Once Upon a Time. I think the reason
Oh, I
why
know why, because you love it
I
and
did
I get it.
well, I think I love it, but I also like remember the best parts of it. And
Yes,
so like
there's a lot of shit,
I know there's a
unfortunately.
lot of shit. There are 22 episodes a season. And I also the best part about it is that last season, that season 7 and seasons most of season 6,
You don't
I could
remember.
not tell you a lot about season 6.
It's
Season
coming
7,
out
I could tell
later.
you even less because season 7, I remember. So the our little just a very brief history of our relationship with Once Upon a
Oh
Time
my
is
God.
that you watched the first
I
season.
did.
You showed me the first season on
I loved
DVD.
it.
We loved it. We watched started watching season 2 together live.
Was it two or three? Whatever.
I
It
can't
doesn't
remember
matter. Doesn't matter.
because the same thing happened with Downton Abbey.
A later season we watched together, and you were like, oh, I love it. Much like Game of Thrones. Like, oh, I think Natalie might not like this, but we'll watch season one. And
I loved
next
it.
thing
But
you know.
I could have sworn it was earlier than season 3 because I feel like I remember season 3 coming out.
Yeah, it's such a long season. It could have been. I
I
don't know.
certainly remember season 4 coming out and the Frozen arc and stuff like that. I
Yeah.
remember us watching that live.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, season 3 we did watch live as well. Either
Yes.
way,
Okay.
so we started watching live around like seasons 2 or 3. And so we're watching and watching. It's so fun. And we even like got those little cider glasses
We
and stuff like
did.
that. And we were
We
like, ooh,
did.
we're going to have apple juice and we're going to be doing
We're
all
gonna
that
do
stuff.
shots
Yeah.
and pretend to talk about, you know,
How
about
hot.
our dark hearts and you know, like stuff.
We watched the spin-off, which we've already covered, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
Which
Shout
is much
out.
shorter, by the way.
13 episodes.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because I remember kind of being a little bit disenchanted in like seasons 5 and 6, but then season 7,
You
holy
know, it's
shit.
just like a different universe.
Yeah,
And
it
it
got
was
rid of so
disappointing.
many characters, and it the characters it did keep, they cursed them again. And so they were all very acting very differently from what we've known them to be.
Yeah.
And it, that not that that's not an okay idea, it's just we've seen it before.
Yeah. Well, no, they're so if you've never watched Once Upon a Time, you should probably start now if we're gonna start it in 2027, because there is so much, but this is a kind of a fairy tale fantasy world turned on its head and a little bit modernized. And I've always loved that as a premise. There have been other shows that do that, and I definitely enjoy those. And I've enjoyed them in many different forms. But I think Once Upon a Time did it really, really well. Especially in the earlier seasons. The problem, of course, being that is that it went really long.
It does.
And so it makes it a little harder to talk about. But we will probably do it. But I really kind of want to put it off until after the beginning of the year.
You can do that. I think you
We
can.
are, of course, looking forward to sharing the Hunger Games with you. We want you to join us. We hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
here's